Welcome to the Wonder Woman podcast, where we discuss a variety of subjects all pertaining to optimizing your physique, building strength, developing a strong mindset, and tools to help you win at life. I'm Michelle McDonald, and I'm the founder of the Wonder Woman coaching team. We are a community of results-driven coaches and clients who believe that we can age like never before. All right, guys, welcome to the Wonder Woman podcast. I'm Michelle, your host, and I'm really excited for this particular podcast. It's the first client roundtable that I've had, and this particular group of gals are such high achievers. They've overcome so much, and they bring so much to the table. I'm going to introduce them one by one, and then we're going to get going. We've got Terry. She has been with TWW. When was the first year you worked with us? The first time?
January 2019.
And you had some great success, but ultimately you had to leave for a bit. And I'd love you to talk about that. And then you came back and blew it out of the water, and you're still blowing it out of the water. And you're 46, right? And then we've got Eileen. And Eileen is 60. Oh my gosh, are you 63?
Four.
64. I'm sorry. I took a year away from
you. That's okay.
It's important, right? It starts to get important. Like, I'm 65 now. And you have been with us for 3 years. Is it 3 years?
Three and a half.
Mm-hmm. 3.5 years. And you did 2-figure bodybuilding shows, first ever, last year.
Correct. In November. Yes.
In November. So we're going to get to hear all about that in an incredible transformation story. One of those, like my mom's like, no way, that's not the same woman kind of transformation. So I love that. Denise, did you just turn 53?
Yes. Just a few days ago.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Wonderful. You don't look a day over 5. And you've also had an amazing transformation. Those of you that haven't heard of Denise, I mean, she's all over Instagram, one of the most favorite, I think, transformations out there. And you give a lot of great content as well. And then we've got Jody, who has been with us for just under 2 years, I think.
Yep. January will be 2 years.
And you also had one of those unbelievable, it can't be the same person kind of transformations. And I think a lot of people will really resonate with your story because you're a very, very busy CEO. You're a mom, and you were facing the usual kind of like brain fog and what's going on and with my body and should I be, you know, taking medications or something. And you had that like health, I don't know if you want to call it a health scare or a health realization, and you decided to turn things around. And now you're doing weighted chin-ups, and you just came from a seminar just like Eileen and Denise did, and bench pressing with world champions and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get started. So, you know, I think the first thing that our listeners probably are going to want to hear about, in fact, I know they're going to want to hear about, is if you could go back in time to when you were starting out, or if you were going to give advice to somebody who was just starting out, what would that advice be? Number one, what would be a top tip? Like, you must do this, and you need to get to it sooner rather than later. So don't delay on, you know, whether it's a habit or reading a book or something like that. And then the other thing is, of course, what would you not do? Like, let's just avoid this mistake altogether. So who would like to start?
A couple of things I thought a lot about this. One piece of advice, because it was something that really struck me, I have given to people, is women have to be willing to put themselves first. And that sounds simple, but particularly what you might be a mom, you might just be a busy executive, you know, and my kids are out of the house. But I remember very distinctly at a certain point having to block time on my calendar because I do my weight training. I work for a company in California when it's lunchtime in California. And I didn't initially do that. And meetings started sneaking into that time. Mm-hmm. And I had a hard time blocking that time for myself. And well, people need you. And then I was kind of like, no, this is my time. It's okay for me to take care of me. And that was a really big mind shift. So that was one thing I tell people often is it's okay to put yourself first. That cliche that you take better care of others when you take care of yourself is a cliche for a reason. because it's true.
And I think that's key that you have that strategy, and I love it. I do that too. Time blocking is everything. So what do you use, a Google Calendar or some kind of an app?
Yeah.
Okay,
Google,
great.
My work Google Calendar, and I block it out, and it just says busy. And so it's like no meetings then. And
how long do you block out for that?
I generally block. I'm smiling because of the workouts. I just started a new block today, and I stopped at an hour and a half because I needed to get ready for this. But generally, I block out an hour and a half because for me, you know, now that I'm lifting heavier, for me, the amount of warm-ups I have to do before I get into my squats, it takes longer. And you know what? I start at 5 a.m. to review emails and Slacks and whatever. Like, I can take an hour and a half for myself. Nobody's going to die if I'm unavailable for an hour and a half. And it's worked out just fine. Okay. But it was a big mindset shift.
Yeah. And what about warm-ups, cool-downs, and showers and that? Because that's, you know, people want to know about that. Like,
I do my warm-ups. I have to do my warm-ups. It's all within that hour and a half. I work from home. I live in Hawaii. I don't shower after I finish working out. My husband puts up with it. And, you know, that's not till later in the day. But that does include my warm-ups and my cool-downs. And, you know, part of that might be age. But I definitely have to warm up now that I lift heavier. Definitely.
I think we all have to warm up, but when we're older, we're more aware of what happens when you don't warm up. Our bodies are less forgiving, but everyone should warm up of no matter what their age. I like that. Who else? Jody, I think. Was it Jody or Denise that also had?
So I, in the beginning of this, so I really hid in the beginning. Like, I didn't embrace the community in the beginning.
You hid?
I kind of hid. You know, we'd have these meetings and I was always quiet. And I wasn't on social media in the beginning, and I really was not a joiner. Like, I would describe myself as someone who was not a joiner.
A lurker.
I was a lurker. And so when I actually started to embrace the community aspect and connected with the other women, it made the journey so much more supportive. It was more enjoyable. I reached new goals because I saw that they were doing it and they encouraged me. And, you know, it was just, I wish I had started really embracing the community from day one, because I think the journey would have been easier and I think I would have gotten further faster. So yeah, don't hide, like, get out there and take advantage. Cause really, I think the community is one of the most special parts of your program, and being around other women who have like-minded goals is just, there's nothing like it. And even now it's one of the most special things for me about all of this.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And that's why for my very first transformation program, it was always in a group, but I called it the roundtable experience, right? Because it's really easy to just look at your coach and say, oh, but you don't have kids, or you don't have my job, or you don't have my marriage. But in a group of women, you're likely to find at least one person who actually has pretty similar conditions to you. And either she's not having the problems you're having, mindset, or maybe you're in a position where you're able to help her. And of course, that is a wonderful attention to have, you know, helping somebody else sometimes and seeing that, hey, I'm in a position now that I can help somebody. Wow, geez, I better keep going here. Maybe I can help more people. Or conversely, I need some help. Can anyone help me? And when you have a peer that's able to help you, it's so meaningful, right?
It really is. It really is so valuable. So yeah, embrace the community. It's such a wonderful aspect of this.
And what about, one last question for you. What about, because you've been so successful. I mean, all of you have been incredibly successful on social media. My husband and I were just talking about how successful our clients are on social media, because we have friends that have been unbelievable coaches for over a decade, and they maybe have 20,000 followers and 3 comments, but you guys have incredible engagement. It's like the timing is right. The world wants to hear this message from this particular segment of the population. So how did you navigate social media? Was it a big leap for you? Did you have to go from apps, I don't know how to use these buttons, or was it just really the mindset?
I remember making a decision around the time I competed last November. I had like maybe 1,000 followers, and most of them were women. And first of all, my coach
told me I had to get on social media to connect with the women because I was a lurker, right? So she's like, you got to do this. So I did. And that was out of my comfort zone. Believe me, I never thought I'd be sharing photos of me in a bikini when I was like, that was just not something that was in my mind. But it was around the time I competed, I thought I really want to be intentional about growing this because I want other women to see that I had gone from being overweight to walking on a stage in 27 months, starting at 50 years old. And if I can do it, because there's nothing special about me, they can do it too. So I became very intentional about wanting to grow. And I started to post my transformation photos. And I think it's just when you see, and I think for most of us, you see how we used to look, we look like most middle-aged women, right? I mean, it was just a common thing. This seems to happen, right? Yeah, hormones, yeah. And so it just grew. I had no intention of growing it this big. And I've learned along the way and I've dealt with trolls. We were talking about this a little before and, you know, all the things, but I really made the decision and it was conscious that I am going to make myself very uncomfortable sharing all these things because it's worth it to me for other women to see that it's possible for them. And I wanted to inspire. So that's been what I set out to do. And I think it's a little bit of luck, right? And it's just a little bit, I guess I'm relatable and people see me and they see the transformation and they believe that they can do it too. Because truly, if I can, I believe anybody can.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I absolutely love that. I think of my mom, Train with Jones, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. And it's like this ripple effect. And I love seeing this incredible ripple effect. And it just keeps going. And each person that is affected by even Joan's transformation, I don't know how many of you were brought to TWW because you saw Joan, but now you are also creating your own unique ripples. Now that's out of sight. Like I couldn't even have imagined that. I couldn't have imagined that of you four women, that three of you are starting your own businesses around transformation. Terry with the retreats, and of course, Eileen and Denise with your own coaching platform. So it's just incredible. Terry, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give yourself? One thing.
So my advice to myself would be to get off of yo-yo dieting and nonstop cardio. And no, you're not going to get bulky by lifting weights. You can improve your body composition. You can improve your metabolism. And cardio and yo-yo dieting was not working for me. And that's how I found you, Michelle, in actually at the end of 2018, which is when I got started in 2019. So.
Great. Okay. So, and stop telling yourself that you gain muscle easily. Because I think that's probably the most common thing that people that start with us that have gotten heavier and they have this idea in their head. And now you guys know just what it takes to put on muscle. I mean, initially there's that beginner luck and you can put on a couple of pounds and it's observable, especially the back, right? Or the glutes maybe. Oh my gosh, I got a glute lift just from all these hip thrusts and RDLs and lunges. But then it becomes very hard. It can take a whole year to put on 1 or 2 pounds. That's great. Jody, what about you? If you could go back in time to when you started your transformation journey with us, what one thing would you whisper into your ear, knowing that that would really get your sales going faster, or if at all?
Well, I think for me, I never gave myself a timeline. I think so many women give themselves this timeline that say, you know, I need to, you know, I have this event in 3 months, or I need to have 6 months, whatever it is. Like, I was very realistic, actually. I knew that it had taken me literally a lifetime of pure nutrition, of not exercising consistently in the right way, and just really not looking after myself to get where I was. So for me, I didn't actually set a timeline, and I just kept reminding myself literally one day at a time. So, you know, I think I was very lucky. I didn't necessarily have a lot of setbacks or issues, but it was more just every day I would be like, okay, today's the day. One day, get the workout done. I was exhausted when I started, you know, doing the workout, doing the cardio, doing everything. And like, I was just wiped. It was like, just get it done. Check the boxes, get it done.
So let me understand. So would you advise yourself to set a timeline, or are you saying I wouldn't change anything? This was, everything was exactly how was it supposed to
be? Like literally, and maybe I'm not the norm, but I literally just kind of came in. I was so desperate to get healthy. I was in such a bad place that I just knew I would do whatever it took to get me to where I needed to be to really change my life. And so for me, it was about taking it one day at a time. So I think that was important. And that was just sort of my reminder every single day, just do the work, just do the work.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Joan was the same. She didn't want to be rushed. She wanted to take her time. She thought her transformation was slow. And in fact, it wasn't. And I talk about that a lot. I mean, I look at data and numbers. You guys know that we're data oriented coaches, and I've run the numbers, and she didn't lose weight as a 70-year-old any slower than a 20-year-old client. So that's always been very interesting, that there really is no difference in weight loss in terms of the rate of loss as you age. But she was also very adamant that she wanted to take her time. She was very nervous. I don't know if this was for you, Jody, but she was very nervous that she would go backwards. If she pushed too hard, pushed too hard to develop a new habit, that she might go backwards.
Yeah, no, I didn't have that experience. In fact, based on sort of the guidance and everything from my coach at the time, literally I had set out, you know, here are my 5 musts every day. I just did them, literally made sure that I did them, built the right habits. And it took me time to get the habits. I'm going to say, you know, and to understand sort of really what I was trying to do. And, you know, as opposed to just going in the process, like I even think in the very beginning, probably the first 3 months, like I just did the workouts, I did the exercise, but there was no real intention behind it. It took me a lot of time to do that and actually develop the habits before I started, oh, this is what I should be feeling, you know? So just really,
it's a process.
Build habits. Yeah.
It's a process, and you're, all of you are still just starting, right? I mean, the idea behind a growth mindset is that, you know, so however long you've been at this, 2 years, 3 years, double that, right? So now we're talking 4 years at the 4 year mark or the 6 year mark, where you are now and what you know now should be a pin drop technically, right? Because consider what you know now compared to when you started. When you started, how little you knew, and yet you had the gumption and the grit to get started, you know, with a 39-inch waist or a 42-inch waist or whatever, right? Heart hypertension medication or a GERD or edema or, you know, it really, you know, the weight, body fat's very inflammatory. So it'll amplify if you have arthritis or any of those sort of autoimmune issues. And that's very exciting. It's not a bad thing. It's like exciting. I feel it all the time. Gosh, what I'm going to know 2 years from now is going to make me look like a baby now. And I love that. It's so liberating. Okay, so that brings me to another question, a key question that I want to ask you guys. And, you know, because of time, and we have a couple more things we want to cover, a few more things we want to cover. Let's say one or two of you will tackle each question. So if you really feel drawn to that particular question, hit the emoji, the hand button. So the first one is, and I'm a big fan of this, you guys know that, going from diet culture mentality, hate it, to athlete mindset. That's what TWW is all about. And that's the kind of woman we want to approach us. Eileen, go ahead.
I can't find my little emoji. So it's funny because Michelle, I wrote down when I was reading through the notes you sent us, that one of the key things about this program is there's a deep shift in identity. And that to me was the key, because the athlete's mindset, when Melissa, I think I've listened to her do this 3 or 4 times, that was a huge shift for me. What was such a huge shift, because I would used to say, oh, well, I just work out. And I remember Annie was my first coach. And when Annie said, no, you need to see yourself as an athlete, and you need to, and to me, that is the key of the lifestyle shift. Is I do now, and you know, I'm married to an Ironman triathlete. So it was a big, he was the athlete, I just worked out. So to say to myself, no, I am an athlete, and I'm going to live the lifestyle of the athlete. And I think, Jody, this, as I would listen to you talk, this is where I think it sounds like you went, is you start just doing the habits because you want the results. And somewhere along the line, you go, you have that aha moment that this is who you now, this is how you now see yourself. And this is how you're going to live your life. And that means you're going to make these choices. That was such a huge, huge shift for me. It changed my life completely.
I love that.
And
that's, yeah.
So, and I just say, Michelle, that's key. Something, I mean, because I think, again, we've all done every diet program out there, you know.
By the time you're like 46 or 50 or 60, right, you've done it.
Mm-hmm. And that to me is one of the key differences with the TWW program is the mindset work and the questions it has you ask yourself to figure out how you see yourself and what changes you can make. It really life-changing, just life-changing.
Yeah. So instead of working out, you train, right? And instead of, you know, dieting, it's nutrition or my pre-workout. How am I going to fuel my performance? Instead of staying up late, it's like, oh, I got to go to bed. I've got deadlifts tomorrow. Right. And you know, if you don't sleep, your deadlifts are going to suffer. They're going to be awful. So, all you know, and you're, you know, how you reward yourself. You don't go have a glass of wine. You go and buy a new pair of squat shoes or some fractionals or some kind of a gym gear, some new gym clothes or something. Right. Or you go to a seminar. Terry, you want to tackle this one?
Yeah. So I'll tell you guys a quick story really fast. So when I first started out with Michelle in 2019, I believe at the time I was about maybe 180, 190, I think. And I was eating about 700, 800 calories a day. So when I got my macros, I can't even believe that. So when I got my macros, I think you gave me, I think I had about 1500 calories split out in the five meals. And I couldn't eat all the food. I couldn't finish my daily food intake based on my macros. And I remember at one point, and I was such a complete newbie to macros. I didn't understand any of it. I didn't even know I should tell my coach, Michelle, that I couldn't eat it. And at one point, I think you busted me. You're like, are you eating all your food? I'm like, no, I can't eat it all. I was afraid also that I would gain weight, right? Because I was eating double the volume that I used to eat. But what ended up happening, which blew my mind, and this is, you know, based on the question on diet culture, I started losing 7 pounds on average per month, eating 2 times more food than I was before. So that completely blew my mind in terms of all the information out there that I had, that I believe, that I read, that everybody talked about was completely false. It was all false. Restriction and dieting and all that stuff that we hear about for, you know, women in menopausal age is completely wrong. So that to me was a big, it just blew my mind right off the bat.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe you weren't eating 700 calories, right? Because if you can imagine 700 calories is not a lot of food. That's like my breakfast. And what ends up happening, and especially when you're a busy, successful CEO, right? You know, you get really hungry and you snack on things that you don't think of as food. And it just kind of happens there. A part of your brain sort of shuts off and you don't realize what you are taking in. So that there's also potentially that as well. Yeah, I think, you know, it's so significant because what I've always been interested is not, you know, anyone can coach losing 10, 20 pounds. It's really easy. You can coach losing 70 pounds. It's maintenance. It's getting the weight off, and then it's the reverse diet, and then maintaining. Not everyone needs to build, right? Maintaining and making the habits really, making sure those habits are really bulletproof. They're part of you. Just like you don't skip brushing your teeth no matter how busy you get or whatever bad news lands on your doorstep. You, same thing. You're just kind of on autopilot with your habits around making sure you take that beautiful body you've created and you take her for a walk or you do some sprints or you go lift some heavy weight and you feed it properly and you make sure it sleeps properly and you really learn how to take care of that body so that it can always perform well, and you can enjoy your life all the way to the very end. Jody, your hands up. Yeah, you have really gone from diet culture to athlete. I mean, witness your transformation has been, everyone's been amazing. But I have personally nursed Jody from the Smith machine to barbell work. And I am flabbergasted every day. Go ahead.
Well, it's insane because when I was in my late 30s, I actually ran 4 half marathons. Even then, I did not consider myself an athlete. And my time was okay. The best time I did was like 2 hours, 13 minutes, which is not bad. But, you know, fast forward to, I remember this very clearly, sitting at the TWW retreat last April, and Annie was doing a session on athletes' mindset. And she kind of went through this list of all the things that make you an athlete. And I was like, yep, that's me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm an athlete. I'm like, I was only 4 months into this journey, but I had this aha moment that I'm doing all the things that an athlete did. These are things that I never, ever did, even when I did my half marathons. And so it's just such a different life today. Like when you think about the things that you plan and do, like looking at the lifts that I do every day and, you know, oh yeah, you know, my depth was not great on the squat today. And, you know, I want to keep the weight the same next time so that I can focus more on that. Like, who am I? You know, it's so very different.
Bang on. Yeah, because my belief is that until you get hooked on the things that keep your passion high year round, you'll eventually lose interest. You'll take your foot off the pedal and you start to go backwards. And that's what, you know, it's like our motto is at TWW, we change the stats, right? So the stats for most people that lose weight is like in the first year, 85% gain it back or something. And I said, well, we do the opposite, right? Like it's rare if you gain the weight back. So changing that narrative on its head, and how do we do it? You have to become an athlete. You have to really fall in love with that, being somebody who trains and looks at their body, not as something that has to be like shamed or become less, right? I want to be smaller and start thinking about performance, right? And having pride in how you're moving and getting your range of motion back and your mobility back and taking pride in doing crazy things that when you started, you never even, you know, maybe even had that on the to-do list. Like doing, I'm sure you didn't think when you started, yeah, I'm going to be, you know, learning how to bench press from 11-time world champion. You're like, not even, right? Like you just wanted to lose the brain fog and see if this maybe could work for you too, but maybe not. And all of the things that people feel when they're on the edge of starting, which brings me to the other question, which is, time is flying by, which always means it's a great podcast. How have your goals changed, like specifically how have they evolved from your original goal? Denise, yeah, okay. Go for it.
You know, when I started this journey, I really just wanted to lose some weight. Like that was it. Like I didn't have, it wasn't like I had some lofty, amazing goals, right? I just wanted to like wear the clothes in my closet that didn't fit me anymore.
Which is fine, which is totally okay.
You know, that was it. And I'll be honest, and I wanted to mention, I did not like bodybuilding at first. I want to mention that because I think a lot of women start and they're like, oh, I don't love this. Like, it's not for me. I didn't love it either, but I fell in love with it over time. I had to experience how it changed my life, how I felt, what it did for me. And it was like a slow, like, love affair, right? And then I loved it. But you know, if you don't love it in the beginning, that doesn't mean you won't. Now I'm obsessed, right? But in the beginning, I was like, it was just a means to an end. And then I never really even had an understanding of what my body was capable of doing. And I realized pretty quickly that I could build muscle. I had never seen my body look this way. And it became addicting. Like, I was like, what can I do now? Like, what can my body look like? Because I was never an athlete. I did not identify as an athlete in the beginning. I wasn't athletic when I was a younger person in high school. And so when I saw that my body could change and I was capable of so much more than I thought, you know, I wanted to compete. I mean, that was a big goal for me. I'd never set out to do that. That wasn't something I'd ever thought I would do. And Yeah. So now it's like I get excited. I'm like, what else can I do? Right. Like, how, and I go to these workshops, like, how much can I really lift? You know, I still realize the journey is never ending. And that's what's wonderful about bodybuilding is that I'm really excited to see what I'm capable of and what my body's capable of, because I truly don't, I know I haven't hit my limit. I'm still young in this, and it's just very exciting. So just continuing to push myself in the gym, work on my lifts, improve my form. I will compete again, I think, next
year. Oh, yeah, you are. You're going to come down to...
I am.
Mexico, right, perhaps.
For sure. So, like I said, you know, I started out with just wanting to lose weight, and now I am a bodybuilder. I am an athlete. I am a competitive bodybuilder. And that was not something I... If you would have told me this when I was starting, I would have said, you're crazy. Like, that's not happening.
I didn't know that you weren't interested, that wasn't a pull. To really dive into the fitness. And was it mom that caught your eye, or was it somebody else that brought you to TWW? Joan. It was Joan.
100% Joan.
And Joan has muscle, right?
She has muscle. I wanted to be more fit, but I was like, I don't know if my body can do that. And I saw the weightlifting as a means to an end. I knew I had to do it to lose weight and to look better in clothes, but that was really my goal. Like, it wasn't to, like, you know, look like Joan necessarily. I just wanted to look better for me. And I never planned to take it this far. Like, it just, like I said, though, I fell in love with it. And now it's like such a part of my life. I can't imagine it without it.
You change, right? Your identity starts to shift. And then you can see opportunities or horizons that you just weren't able to from where you originally were, right? And that's the evolution. That's the journey. 100%. Yeah. So just give yourself space and try to be present and really enjoy all the opportunities that come your way, and listen to the other people too, because maybe their story is going to inspire you to try something totally out of the box.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Put your hands up.
So it was very interesting, actually. We did an exercise with our coach at the end of February last year, and we had to write down what our goals were. So this was already 2 months in. And at that point, I was still, like, literally exhausted every day getting out of bed to exercise. You know, so one of my goals was to be able to actually exercise first thing in the morning without actually feeling exhausted, to feel comfortable in my clothes, to not feel out of breath walking up the stairs, going for a hike, doing those types of things. Making good food choices when stressed. And the other thing, and I always laugh at this, is one of my goals was I wanted shoulder caps. So it's like, I'm like, of all the things, it's like everything's health related. And then all of a sudden, like, I want to be able to build my body. And so for me, my goals have shifted so much. I mean, I still remember at the beginning of February last year, I was like, okay, I want to be able to learn to do a pull-up. And now I'm working on aiming for my 7th unassisted consecutive.
And you're pretty close. Like, you're there.
Back then, I couldn't even use 3 bands to do an assisted pull-up. It was hilarious. So, you know.
And don't you have a comparison of your pull-up journey on IG?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you need to do a new one. And I'm going to make sure, by the way, everyone, that I'm going to drop everyone's Instagram and websites and all of that below, so that you can follow these people and see the incredible transformations, especially if you're new, if you haven't met any of these people on socials before, you're just going to be completely blown away by their transformations. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. So I was saying, like, it's just now my goals, obviously it's great. Like, literally I get up first thing in the morning. I'm not out of breath. I'm like, okay, she's given me half an hour of high intensity cardio. Okay, we can just do that at the end of my weight training. So, you know, I just kind of do that and it just happens. But I love now that I actually have goals to lift heavier, to get my form right. You know, it's so amazing. I mean, I've only been, you know, using a barbell for, you know, just under a year. And I love it because my form improves. And every time I watch myself, I'm like, oh my God, that felt so good. That deadlift felt great. Okay, we can go up next week. You know, it's so amazing. And I love having these new goals and just shifting things over time.
Now, this is great, because how did you overcome, or did you have any fear around, you know, doing a deadlift or a squat? Did you have concerns? Am I going to hurt myself? I got to be careful here. You know, I'm in my 50s. Go ahead. You're nodding. So go ahead.
No, actually I did, because when I did my very last half marathon, which was, I think, 2008, when I did that last half marathon, I actually fell while doing one of my training runs 2 weeks before the half marathon, and I jarred my back. I still did the half marathon, of course I did, but I jarred my back and I was in physiotherapy for literally a year. So one of the biggest things for me was a concern, am I going to hurt myself again? And so one of the things that I actually did, and in fact, I had an appointment today, is I see my physiotherapist once a month, purely as a tune-up, working on things. And what's great, it's he's not only working on the body, but like I said to him, you know, I really wanted to work on like the depth of my squat. It's like, okay, have you ever done a Spanish squat? I'm like, I don't even know what that is. So he had me work on that today, you know? So all these things, it's amazing how you think differently. So now I'm in the mode of not about worried about being injured, but how can I make sure that I'm actually advancing myself while keeping my body in the best shape possible?
Yeah, that's smart, because illness and injury are probably the two biggest setbacks during a progression, right? So you want to avoid those two things. And it's easy when you're excited and you're making great gains to push it. And then, you know, you end up having to take 3 or 4 weeks off training. I don't know. Eileen, you want to dive in here?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. So I literally yo-yo dieted for 40 years. I mean, I put myself on my first diet at like 13. And of course, the longer you do that, the less effective. And I mean, there are some that I'm just embarrassed. I'm not going to mention them because I look back and think you were nuts. And so I turned 60 and I thought, you know what? I'm giving myself a year off. It's been 40 years. You're 60 years old. And I didn't diet. And wow. I can't remember now. I didn't gorge myself because I wasn't, you know, going to go back on a diet on Monday, but I did eat and I probably put at least 20 pounds on. And it was coming near my 61st birthday. And a picture of Joan popped up on my Instagram. I don't know why. I used to just post pictures of my kids and the dogs. And there she was. And I'll never forget, she was in a yellow outfit when she was heavier, and she was in that beautiful pink women's best, like kind of turned to the side with her tricep popping out. And I remember reading it and thinking, I remember exactly, like, she started when she was 70 years old. You have no excuse. And so I went to your website and I sent an email, and I started exactly on my 61st birthday, which was May 18th, 2020.
That was, we were still in COVID, right?
Yeah. I just wanted to lose weight. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to try doing it a slow way. I have lifted weights for a lot of years, but I realize now I got kind of complacent. I didn't really have a plan. I just wanted to lose the weight and feel better. My blood pressure had started to, you know, click up, and I was on the border of pre-diabetic. And that was the initial goal. And somewhere along the line, I had wanted to compete when I was younger. Like, I've always loved weight training, and I had wanted to do it in my 30s and 40s. And I really had believed that opportunity had passed me by. And so as I heard people talking about it, I thought, well, okay, what if? And I remember reaching out to JJ, and I was like, I know you've taken people in their 50s to the stage. Are you up for the challenge of taking someone in her 60s? You know, and he's like, all right, let's do it. And I will tell you what it was, well, two of the greatest experiences of my life. And the biggest thing was to stand up there and feel like I belonged. Not that I was going to win or whatever, but I belonged. I was comfortable being up there with gals who were young enough to be my daughters. I had one little girl who was backstage with her mom. She said, can I ask you how old you are? So I said, I'm 63. And she said, that's my grandma's age. I said, I know. That means your grandma could do this too. And I mean, you could see it like rolling around in her head. So I'm going to celebrate my 65th birthday next year by getting back up on stage twice. And I never in a million years had that in my head when I saw that picture of Joan and signed up. So what this program has done in terms of opening possibilities, in terms of saying to myself, right, it goes back to
willing to do the
beliefs.
Work.
Yeah. Well, and recognizing you have limiting beliefs, because I started with, oh, you know, I don't know how many times I said to myself, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I could never squat my body weight. Oh, I could never, you know, fill in the blank, right? I'd never tried, but I had just decided. So even just having now the awareness to say, oh, look at what I just said to myself.
I can't yet. Right. Yeah. That's right. Such an important word to interject there. That's beautiful. And, you know, I personally, I can remember you being down here at, I think you were down here on your own, right? And you
the
were
time with Carmella.
Yeah. And we were looking at the two of you and I thought, boy, poor Eileen, her movement patterns need some work. And, you know, and Jay's like, yeah, she's trying though. And then when I heard that he was going to take you on, I said, well, how what's your plan for that? What are you going to do? What kind of lifts are you going to do? What's the progression you're going to put together? And I got to tell you, he had nothing but great things to say about working with you as an athlete. And he works with IFBB pros. He works with world champions. You guys know that. And you just are so disciplined and so committed and you never miss a beat. And that's all the difference. Amazing things can happen. I talk about, you know, when you change the body, it's like putting braces on your teeth and you can't take the braces off on the weekends. You can't take them on and put them off and expect to have this beautiful, you know, smile. And you can get a crazy outcome with bones, with braces, right? Bones and teeth and all of that jazz. If you're consistent, and it's consistency that wins.
Consistency.
Well, and not giving up, right, Michelle? Like not giving up. Because JJ commented at the last lifting seminar, he's like, I can't believe the difference. And I said, you know, I told you, I'm not fast. It may take me a while to figure it out, but I will not give up until I get it. It took me 2 years to be able to do a squat with proper form. I had no glute strength when I started. My knees would buckle
in. You fold it over like so many women. They go down and we can see like, oh, she's a folder. And then every now and again, you'll see somebody that can load the posterior chain and maintain her torso angle. She, even if she's not bust body weight with her, you know, application video and like, wow, that's a good squat pattern. But most of us gals, if you're not an athlete, playing sports throughout your 20s and 30s, by the time you get to your 40s, you just forgot how and you say, okay, I'm going to bend over. No, we're not bending over. We're squatting down. I remember seeing a video of you and it was amazing, the transformation in your movement pattern. And this is significant, guys, because again, all of these women have said the same thing. They didn't get into this wanting to be an athlete. They wanted to fit into their size 4 or their college clothes or just get off medication or, you know, just really basic, normal, everyday, you know, entry points, but then something shifts. And this is where we get these crazy outcomes, the almost, you know, for a lot of people, unbelievable outcomes. And it's that shift, and you got to allow it to happen. And you've got to have grit, because making that transition, it's not, you know, all rainbows and sunshine, right? It's a lot of nope, 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 not yet. Nope, that's not right. Okay, let's go back to pause deadlifts. Let's regress here because things got out of hand, and go back to pause squats. And you gotta just, you know, you gotta just persevere and know that you're not that special snowflake that can't get better. You can get better. You just gotta allow yourself to be a beginner and get through it. Keep showing up. Terry, and we're going to run out of time. Terry, yep. Tackle this one.
Quick story talking about beginners. So a testament to you and Jay. When I started, where you had DB, whatever, overhead press, I did not know what a DB was.
Which
I started. I had to look it up. I was RDL. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what anything meant. I had never lifted a dumbbell. I had never done strength training. I had never weightlifted. I had never done these things before. And when I came to Tulum for the first time to train in person with Jay, I referred to myself as Marshmallow. So I would walk into the gym for my training session. I would say, hey, Jay, Marshmallow's here. And that was when something shifted for me, because I remember specifically the moment when Jay said, stop saying that. And it,
I remember and
I believe
he gave you kind of a tough talk, didn't he?
He did. And what I didn't know back then was my beginner deadlift was 165.
You're natural.
I'm a marshmallow. And now I've actually gone up to almost 225 in my last deadlift.
Yeah, it's clean. It's a really great deadlift.
And I was never an athlete. That literally started in 2019 when I was 43.
Anything can happen. It's amazing the potential. And, you know, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, but now that you've experienced these transformations personally, and probably some of the kickback maybe you've got on social media, whether it's from a troll or people who just don't believe, you know, well, what did you do? There's got to be some special secret. Or maybe they're genuinely like, what did you do? Like, there's got to be some quick trick, right? I'm sure you must understand why my mission is to try and get as many women out there sharing their stories so that we can significantly impact the narrative, because we literally are led to believe. And I'm not saying we're led by some, you know, conspiracy, theory, but just, you know, we do it to ourselves, right? We tell ourselves what's possible and what's not possible. We accept that the way our girlfriends are aging or that our parents have aged is normal. And when you understand the huge impact that lifestyle, and lifestyle is kind of a function of your mindset, what your standards are and what your expectations or your results are. When you understand the incredibly powerful significance that has on your experience of aging, it's mind-blowing, right? And don't you want everyone? I mean, I'm sure that's why you want a coach, right? Because it's like, everyone should be doing this. If I had these results, you could have these results too. And it doesn't have to be this terrible negative story, especially for women, especially around, you know, the menopausal years. It doesn't have to be this terrible story, this doom and gloom. Have you guys had anything, you know, behind the scenes that you've, you know, noticed or come across or had to address along those lines? Like a comment from someone or?
So many comments.
Right? Wait, and you know, a lot of people like to say, right? It's, that's not the same person. I'm sure, Denise, you've gotten that. It's like, it can't be the same. It's not the same person. You've obviously had plastic surgery. That's the other one. Those are the two biggest, but the plastic surgery, a lot, you know, whether it's, you had a tummy tuck or because nobody wants to believe, because then that, and this is what I've said to people before. No, I didn't do any of those things. That means even you, troll person, could do this too, if you were willing to put in the work. So it's like good news, you know, but that's often. Oh, that's not the same person. You didn't do that without some kind of medical intervention.
You know, my favorite one is they'll say, "Oh, but you weren't wearing shoes in your heels in your original photo, and you're wearing heels now." Shoes.
They're obsessed about the shoes.
It's the shoes. That's really what the change was. It's the shoes. I get that all the time.
I know, Kristen. I put Kristen up the other day, and because most people, when they apply, they're not in their shoes, right? And then you kind of get into it, and maybe your coach says, "Put some shoes on," right? And flex a little bit, like just don't stand there like you're, you know, in a police shot. But your muscle, you can't see it really, unless you're flexing it a little bit. So that's important too. But yeah, the shoes really get people.
One thing I'm going to say is for me, it's actually the difference. I haven't had like those comments. I've had like the opposite. So like, I just realize how little information there is out there. And this is one of my reasons why I spread the word. Like so many people like reach out to me. I probably get and respond to like a good 20 to 50 messages every week. And I do calls multiple times a week with people, and I'm happy to do that. And people are like, "Will you coach?" I'm like, "That's not my thing, but I'm happy to talk to you." But so many people don't realize what's possible, and so I'm happy to share the story. But it's just the word definitely needs to get out there even more, because more of those stories on Joan, and you know, because it's just amazing.
Yes, I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to Gabriel Lyon's IG that we did on the weekend, and she's going to be on the podcast too. But I love that she is just doing such a wonderful job of getting her book out there, which if you've read it or even read some of the excerpts, is so much in line with what we do. I mean, it's really bodybuilding stuff. She even recommends creatine. And I still get people inquiring about creatine and wondering if that's a, you know, an illegal substance. It's like, no. And there's a lot of research on it. And yes, take it daily. So it's, you know, we're at a really exciting turning point. And I think, you know, we have you guys to thank for it. And I'm not kidding, because you guys are blowing up social media and you're just bare. You're showing it all. You're showing the first photos. Like I said, the raw beginnings. And aren't you glad? Don't you wish you took more footage of the beginning? Right?
Oh, yes.
Right? Like all of it? Like, don't you want to compare your split squats and like, maybe you have it, but it's dark and it's a bad angle. Now you know why coaches are always, you know, could you set your tripod up, you know, hip level at this angle so we can see everything, not just your from the hips down. And so more people can, you know, because it's a reality. And I say this all the time. The older population is the fastest growing population in Western society. And what's the other largest, the fastest growing? Obesity. Right? Right. And it's a very dangerous combination. And it's not like, you know, people think, oh, well, when I go, I'll go. No, probably you won't. It'll be this long lingering thing and you'll always be you. But, either your habits and your lifestyle create this beautiful temple that you get to enjoy fully and be a globetrotter and travel. And I just saw, you know, Denise, you were away, I think, in Italy for a bit. That looked fabulous. Jody, you were traveling. You're always traveling. I know I've got Sue out in New Zealand. I mean, it's constant, right? And you can enjoy yourself. And I think, Jody, you said that you were doing all this hiking or something and you were just in your father's on board. Now he's lost a bunch of weight. And you're just so much more able to enjoy all of those things, let alone being able to fit into your clothes. Your cognitive, your mind, it's sharp and you need it to be sharp with your job. You need to be able to recall all of these people and like the new tech and be versed and be able to talk about it. So it's just so vital that more people have access to what's possible, because it's you know, we're going to either be in a temple or we're going to be in a prison.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
And like, yeah, Michelle, I'd never even heard of macros before I started. I'd never heard of macros. I only heard about counting calories, and that to me was such a huge game changer, understanding, you know, that most women don't eat enough protein and it matters what you eat and when you eat it. And to go from, I mean, really to go from spending decades eating as little as possible to lose weight to eating as much as I possibly can to lift as heavy as I can. I mean, it's like opening the door to that prison. It really is. It's such a joyous way to live. It's amazing. And, you know, part of why I, you know, make so much noise is because a lot of women, I mean, I'm probably the only one here who's already through menopause, women who think, oh, well, once you're gotten through menopause, you're stuck with the menopause belly or the this or the that or whatever. And like life is over once you got through menopause. Well, guess what? No, it's not. And Joan, again, is that great example. It's never too late. It is never too late to get healthy and strong.
Hear, hear. All right. So that's a perfect note to end on. Guys, you can follow these beautiful women, these amazing, you know, Amazons on Instagram. Terry, you are How Good Can It Get? And we're going to drop those links as well for you all. Eileen, I believe, Silver and Strong. Great. Now, Denise, you're going to help me with this one. My Fitness Journey.
50 Fitness Journey.
50 Fitness Journey. Awesome. And, well, Jody, you're Jody, right?
I'm my name, yeah.
You're your name. And then also, Terry, you've got beautiful, unbelievable retreats in the mountains of Tennessee. Stunning. The first one in 2024 is going to be in March. There's a couple spots left. And people can find out more about that. And these on Eileen just explained to me that we don't say www, we say www.houseofrose.com. And they're called the THOR retreats, the Thor retreats, right? And you're specializing in transformation, mindset. You've got a gym there. Anything else you want to throw in?
Yoga, hiking.
Beautiful hiking.
Amazing food. All personally made, based on macros.
And a bunch of women. Is it women or is it co-ed? Women. Women getting together, sharing. Beautiful. All right. Denise, you are launching, or you just launched today?
No, I'm launching on Monday, Rebellion Body, which is my coaching program, because we are the rebels, right? We're rebelling against this narrative in midlife. And that launches Monday, so I'm excited.
So that's www.rebellionbodies.
Rebellionbody.com.
Body, so BODY.com. Beautiful. Eileen, Silver and Strong, right? So, and that's going to be early 2024.
Yeah, coaching will start early 2024. Right now, we're doing a newsletter and have some cool blogs on the website.
Perfect. So that's www.silverandstrong.com. Awesome. And Jody, well, Jody apparently will answer all your questions and even hop on a call. And she might even meet you for tea. And she's great. So why wouldn't you? So you're going to be bombarded with people asking for you to have set up a Calendly link on your Instagram. And, yeah. In case you're in the tech biz, she's the CEO and founder of Boulevard Public Relations and really focused on the tech world, right? So if they want to know anything about that, they can look at your website for that too. Ladies, thank you so much for an amazing roundtable. I'll have to have you guys on here again. And good luck with everything that's going on. It sounds amazing. And I know you have what it takes to make your dreams happen and work together as a team, right? There's a piece of the pie for everybody. And the more we network and support each other, the better.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Michelle.
Starting all this for all of us. I mean, you really are changing the world.
Absolute pleasure. It is a mission. Thank you.
It is. Love you guys.
The Wonder Women podcast is proudly sponsored and produced by Social Fix. Social Fix is a transformational digital agency specializing in digital marketing, web design, social media, video, and podcast production for fitness, beauty, health and wellness brands. Visit socialfix.com and request a free consultation for your brand's online image.